Welcome to Now Church. For the latest updates, visit us at nowchurch.com, including live or on-demand video, online giving, and much more. And don't forget to follow Now Church on our social media platforms, including Facebook and Instagram. And please use the hashtag NowChurch. Thank you, and enjoy today's service.
Today, we're going to try to conclude this whole theme, this whole thought of destiny and purpose. Turned out to be a much bigger kind of thing than I thought it was going to be in terms of the more I studied, the more stuff I got. And so I reserved the right to put a pin in this and come back to it in a few months with a different theme title, but with similar type thoughts, because it's a vast subject. Today, I want to finish with this thought: only time will tell. Only time will tell. We're starting with 2 Timothy chapter 2 from the NIV in verse 20. It says, in a large house there are articles not only of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay. Some are for special purposes, and some are for common use. Those who cleanse themselves from the latter will be instruments for special purposes, made holy, useful to the master, and prepared to do any good work. It's good news. Excuse me. Now I want to weave in John chapter 15, verse 16 from the Amplified. Jesus said this: you have not chosen me, but I've chosen you, and I've appointed you, I have planted you, that you might go and bear fruit and keep on bearing, and that your fruit may be lasting, that it may remain and abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, as presenting all that I am, he may give it to you. You're supposed to bring forth lasting fruit. Lasting fruit. Thank you for that overwhelming response. Isaiah 64, we said last week, verse 8, but now, O Lord, you are our Father, we are the clay, and you are our potter, and all we are the work of your hand. Let's pray one more time. Father, open the eyes of our heart today to take hold of your promises and purposes. Lord, help us to see where we're going, where you want to go. We invite you as the sculptor of our lives to come and shape us, mold us, and make us who you want us to be. Lord, let the light bulb turn on today in the lives of people that are in the middle of a season that they do not understand. In Jesus' name, amen. Last week we said that God is both a sculptor and a painter. His artwork creates something from nothing, like painting, but it also takes lumps of stone or clay and chisels away what he doesn't want to be in the finished product. He's a sculptor. A lot of times God is sanding us or sculpting us or dealing with us in things that we thought were long ago dealt with or gone. And yet he's wanting to refine them and to remove them completely. His will is that the enemy you see today, you shall see no more forever, as the Egyptians, as God said about the Egyptians coming out of Egypt for the children of Israel. I believe God is still aligning each of us to fulfill our designated assignment. Now, many people, you know, most people know Ecclesiastes: to everything there's a season, a time for every purpose under heaven. Why don't you think about those words and not just the old song by the Birds? It's a time, there is a timing for every purpose under heaven. Everything God has destined and purposed in your life and mine, there's a timing for it. And the fact of the matter is that destiny is not a one-off. It's not, okay, oh good, we had a great mission trip. I think I just fulfilled my destiny. No, your destiny is unfolding. And as long as there's breath in your body and life in your being, God's purpose is still being established, and you're not done yet. And it's really important to remind people that get to a certain place in life, God is not done with you. Florida may be the retirement capital of the world, but the kingdom of God is the refinement capital of the universe. And the kingdom of God is alive and working within you. Don't let anybody steal your purpose. There's still a reason you're here, and you need to keep discovering that, because there's still a timing for the next purpose that God has for your life. Amen? Every person on earth experiences times and seasons of life, changes and transitions, ebbs and flows, high tides and low tides. Everything in life is cyclical. It's cycles and seasons. The enemy of your soul wants to trap you in the downward spirals of your life and undermine your trust in the Lord to try to steal your hope. He tries to trick your mind into believing that the struggle you're in right now is permanent, and it's not. You need to remind your circumstances and your own heart at times, this too shall pass. This is going to be done, and we're going to be another season. Just as God created the seasons, as surely as summer turns to autumn and winter turns into spring, the Lord himself is fighting for you and ready to move you forward into the next season to break you out of the cycle that you're in if it's a down cycle. Everything in God is intended to come full circle. Count on it. Every relationship that was of God that got messed up, derailed, and offense stepped in, I tell you that one day, if you stay close to the Lord, the intention is, now you can't control anybody else's will, but I'm telling you, the purpose of God is that thing will come full circle. It may not ever be like it was. It may be stronger than it was before, but the things in God tend to come in cycles and seasons, and they will come full circle. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Genesis 8:22 says this way, while the earth remains, there is seed time and harvest, cold and heat, winter and summer, and day and night shall not cease. How many know the sun came up this morning?
Yes.
The moon was out last night. The life is going on, whether you're in tragedy or whether you're in a great season of blessing. Life is moving, it's growing, it's moving. And while the earth remains, people, you know, all over the world getting, well, what about this? And are the glaciers melting? Yeah, you know what the glaciers prove? There was an ice age. You know what the ice age proves? That there was a flood. You know, it all goes back to the Word of God and not just all these scientific theories that everybody can come up with. But here's the point. God says, whatever you sow, that will you also reap. We believe in seed time and harvest. It is a law. It is a law like summer, fall, winter, spring, like heat and cold, like all these things. While the earth remains, there will be something for your that God has given you in your hand in the power to help change the seasons, and that is seed time and harvest. But I want to say it's like this. Seed, time, and harvest. That's the frustration part. Time. The great prophet once said, time keeps on slipping into the future. The word says, be fruitful and multiply. We esteem the gifts of the Holy Spirit so much. And in Spirit-filled churches, we love the gifts of the Spirit. Don't we? Don't we love when God heals someone? Don't we love when he speaks his word? when he clarifies something for you? Don't we love when God is moving in power and in his presence? We love that, don't we? We love that. Healing, deliverance, prophetic words. I love it. But here's the thing. Gifts are given. Fruit is grown. That's a good time to groan. Because fruit is grown over time. Sustained fruit triumphs over gifts. We'll come back to that. Gifts are awesome, but fruit is also called, if you go to Publix and you go to the fruit section, you go to produce. What are you producing? What are you producing with your life? That's fruitfulness. Gifts are awesome. The problem is, in our world, a lot of Christian people follow gifts. But the Bible says we're to look at fruits more than gifts. I love the gifts. Not against the gifts, but understand what you produce is what shows true character. That shows the true story. We say around here, the proof of anything is in the fruit it produces. The proof of anything is in the fruit. Not just what somebody says, not all the political promises of the day, but what do people actually bring forth? Not what they talk about. Anybody can say anything at any time and then come in and do crazy stuff. Jesus said the tree is known by its fruit. And he said, watch the fruit. Inspect the fruit. Not with criticism, but with discernment. Be discerning. The difference between criticism and discernment is who you tell. Okay, let me say that again. The difference between criticism and discernment is when you feel compelled to tell somebody else and gossip about it, it's criticism. When you sense a warning, you know, I know nobody here knows Lost in Space, but there used to be this robot on Lost in Space when I was a kid. There's a warning, warning, Will Robinson, warning. There's got to be that warning that you, well, three people remember, I guess, four or five, six. Anyway, the reality is that God has a warning system in you, but you have to be willing to actually face the fruit. What does this taste like? What does it smell? If it smells bad and it tastes bad, it's probably bad. You know? Yeah, I don't know how long you save bacon in the fridge, but you can tell when it's bad. And don't override your senses and say, well, I think it should be fine. It should be fine. Well, you hope it's fine. The proof of anything is in the fruit it produces. We say around here, you don't have to put a sign onto a banana tree to say what it is. You just look at its fruit. In any kind of plant, any kind of tree, if there's tomatoes on it, it's a tomato plant. If there's watermelon coming out of the ground, it's watermelon. You know it by its fruit. Now, you might not know it by its leaves, but you will when the produce comes over time. That's why you don't rush into anything headlong. You watch it. You watch it. Now, I want to focus as we finish today on the potter's process. The potter and the clay. I promised you last week about the sculptor was part one. I want to finish with this. The potter has a process. And for some of you that are going through a different season, or you've been through different seasons of your life, you need to have some clarity kind of what God's doing or the timing. God wants to turn clay pots into anointed vessels or containers that are pure enough to carry the oil of his Holy Spirit. Okay? That's what he wants to do. It is interesting to me that there are 9 manifested gifts of the Holy Spirit listed in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. There are also 9 fruits of the Spirit listed in Galatians 5. I always took that as a sign that the gifts and the fruits are supposed to go together. That they're to work together. That while you're healing the sick, that you're also growing in character and self-control and patience. That if you're walking in the power of the Holy Spirit, that you're walking to a greater degree in love. See what I'm saying? So those are things that work together. And so the potter has a process. And so I want to give you those things today. And this started working in us many years ago. So I'm just going to tell you a couple things. First of all, I had a cool thing happen the other day. I walked into a restaurant down in the Orlando area and where I grew up. And I walked in and I see these 3 ladies over sitting in a booth, and the 2 ladies facing me started looking at me, and they kind of turned their head and they kind of started talking. And so I just kind of caught their eye and I walked toward them, and this one, the one young lady looked at me and she goes, "Pastor Richard?" I said, "Yeah." She said, "Light Shine?" Well, Light Shine was the name of the youth group we started in Orlando 36 years ago. She goes, "I'm Africa. Africa James." I said, "Africa, I can't, wow." I mean, all of our 11 to 14-year-olds that we pastored back in the 80s are now in their mid to late 40s. And they're asking how our kids were, thinking they were this. I said, well, our oldest is about to be 44 this week. What? And I said, yeah, and our youngest just turned 40. They almost fell off their chair in Don Julio's restaurant there in Lake Mary, Florida. And it was just like, I said, how did you recognize me? And she goes, I just knew you when you walked in the door. I just knew you. I want you to know that fruit that remains is a big deal. My wife and I celebrated yesterday the 46th anniversary of our first date. 46 years ago, we had our first date. I think I spent about $1.12 on her the first date. We went to Arthur Treacher's Fish and Chips, which was right near our high school. And I didn't know what she was going to get, so I got her fish and chips. I got myself a corn dog because I was afraid I didn't have enough money. That was our first date. Here we are 46 years later. The time, you should clap for her. That's what you should clap for. You should clap for Pastor Gail. She's the one, yeah. But this message has become very, very real to us over our lives. So I'm going to give it to you real quickly, okay? Number one, the process of the potter. Number one, God specializes in digging clay out of the dirt. Digging clay out of the dirt. The first part of the process is to separate the usable from the unusable and to start a winnowing process, a cleansing process. There's not everything you dig out of the ground is clay. You get a lot of crud around the clay, and you can't make that into anything. It has to go back into the dirt. And so there is a moment, and I want to remind you this. Remember, we were all born into sin. Even good people were also lost people. You might have been raised, I know we've got people that talk about testimonies, and sometimes we have people that have powerful testimonies, but their testimony is, I was raised in the Lord, I was raised in the church, received the Lord as my Savior as a child, I've been living for Him ever since, and I never fell away in great measure. That's the best testimony there is, right? But it's not the most exciting testimony there is. And so a lot of times those people feel like they don't have a testimony. But I want you to know, please remember, you were still found in the muck. You were still found in the mire. You were still dug out of the ground. You might have lived for God since you knew, but we were all born into sin. We were all born sinners. There's not one that is good, not one that is perfect, not one that is pure without Jesus. No one. So don't ever forget where you came from. Number one, he digs clay out of the dirt. Now, some of you can look at that in your life and say, that's where he found me. That's where he found me. I was clearly lost, and I was a professional at it. Right? I mean, I'm an all-in kind of guy, okay? I'm an all-in. When we got married 44 years ago, I was all in, and I told her yesterday again, I'm all in for the next 46 years. I'm all in. I don't like this halfway anything. Listen, if you can love the Gators for 50 years, as I do, through all the, speaking of muck and mire, if you can love a team, is my point, not just the Gators. Some of you this year for the Seminoles, it's rough. It's yeah. Dave, it's bad. I mean, it's bad. We got two bad teams in the area, but both their stadiums made it through a hurricane. There's something to look for. You know, there's something positive about it, right? Both the stadiums are okay. The point is, anything you're going to love over time, you're not going to always feel the goosebumps, But you make the choices. Don't forget where you came from. Let go of the sin and the shame of your past. But God sent a prophet to remind King David, you were a shepherd boy before I found you. You were a shepherd boy before I raised you up. Don't ever forget what God has done and how far he's brought you, is bringing you, and how far you're going. Amen. Amen? Be grateful for that. Be grateful for that. Humility is recognizing always in your heart where you've come from, but recognizing who Christ is in you now. And your new identity is a new creation in him. Number two, the second part of the process of a potter, from what I'm taught, what I'm told, is this, that you take the what you dig out of the ground and you soak it in water for a long period of time. You put it in water for long periods of time. The Bible says this, we are washed by the water of the word over time. I love what Jesus said. You are clean through the word I've spoken unto you. You are clean through the word. You're clean through the word. You're not clean from your behavior changing. You're cleansed through the word. And out of that, God helps modify your behavior. But being a Christian is not behavior modification. It is heart change. Miraculous heart change. Don't ever forget that. It's not, we grow the fruit of self-control, but self-control doesn't save you. A lot of times we come in knowing we came out of the clay, but then we came out of the dirt, but now we come in and we start feeling like self-righteous. No, your self-righteous is filthy rags. It's dirty earth in the dirt you came out of. Understand, there's got to be a cleansing through the water. And then when he fills you with the Holy Spirit, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. Once that water is purified, it's an artesian well, the Bible says, inside your spirit. Okay? So it's got to be soaked. There's a soaking in the water. How do you know the water season? Well, you feel like you're going to drown. That's why you know the water season. You feel like you're not going to come up. Listen, you always have to go through the water before you get to hold the oil. The Bible says, born of water, born of the Spirit. John chapter 3. Unless a man is born of water, born of the Spirit, he can't see the kingdom of God. Right? What happened when the children of Israel escaped the slavery of Egypt? On the third day, they had to go through the water. It's a process of every believer. Those children of Israel, those were types and shadows of the substance we have in Christ. They had to go through the water. The Red Sea, it was a New Testament equivalent to baptism by immersion. They had to walk through that there, even though it was on dry ground. They had to go through the water. You and I, as the clay being formed by God, have to go through the water season. That reminds me to remind you that next Sunday we have a water baptism service here after second service next Sunday. If you're a new believer or you've recently rededicated your life to the Lord and you're all in, take the dive, take the plunge. I want to encourage you. It is a big deal. It's not just a ceremony. It's an outward declaration to the world of what already has happened in your heart. It's part of the process, okay? You can sign up. Pastor Chris will probably talk about it at the end. I think we have an announcement about it. Number three. Are you getting anything today? Okay, so the third part, this is where some of you, I think some of you are in this season right now. Number three, what the potter does to prepare the clay is he starts poking holes in the clay when it's brought out of the water and set on a table. He starts poking holes in the clay with a sharp instrument. This is to remove the air bubbles and the impurities and get out stuff that the digging out of the ground didn't get out, that washing in the water didn't get out. This is the moment where the chisel comes out for the sculptor. This is the moment where there's this deep impurity and imperfection at a molecular level, God begins to deal with those things. And he begins to refine you and poke holes in, you know, with his word. And he says, hey, what about this? Just when you think you're going good, oh, I'm so much, I feel so free compared to what I used to be. And God, and then God shines a light. The other day I was driving and in my car, my dashboard is black and shiny, and it always looks kind of nice and clean to me. And we were stopped somewhere, and the sun was shining right on my dashboard at a certain angle. And I'm going like, my dashboard is filthy. I told my wife, I said, look at all that. I got beach sand up there and probably Chick-fil-A or something. I don't know what it is. I mean, we got residue of all kinds of stuff from what we eat in the car. It's all up there now. I didn't even see it till the light came on. The Holy Spirit may be turning the light on certain areas of your life, not to beat you down, but to get to that next level of purification. It's not trying to be mean. He's trying to say, okay, you think you're clean, but here's what I see when my glory shines on you. I'm seeing this over here, and that's not okay. It's not okay. Poking holes in the clay with a sharp instrument is super uncomfortable. But the truth is, you grow into your destiny through discipleship, as we talked about recently. Personal growth and development. Listen, people, we all need people in our lives that love us enough to bring occasional adjustment. You in this life, I don't know how anybody can live without a chiropractor, by the way. You can go to whatever chiropractor you want to go to, but I'm telling you, we get out of alignment. We get, you know, you can step off a curb funny and throw your whole body out of alignment, but if you can get that pop back in place, it can bring freedom. You know, a year and a half ago, I had sprained my left knee, and I was in serious pain. It took me months to get through that thing completely. I mean, it was painful. Every time I walked up and down steps, or every time I walked up and down anything that wasn't level, if I was walking across the stage as flat, I was fine. If I was walking down a driveway, it must have been something in the bending of my legs, my bending of my knees, and I felt like fire. I was in so much pain. And I went to the chiropractor. Thank God, through chiropractic, I was completely healed. I didn't have to go to orthopedist or talk about anything else. I just went there, and they kept adjusting and adjusting and adjusting. The problem with it is that when my knee got out, then my ankle got out, then my hip got out. Welcome to being 60. Anyway, three. Anyway. You grow through discipleship. We all need adjustment from time to time. God, if God is poking holes in some area of your life right now, let him. Yes, amen. Let him. Number four. Here's a great part. After you take it and you poke the holes in it, you set it on a shelf to dry. Just the raw clay has to have time to sit on a shelf. This is my least favorite time. Of all the times and seasons I've been in repeatedly in my life, shelf time is the worst time. Why? Because you feel so shelfish. Tried it out anyway. What is shelf time? It's a dry time. It's a desert season. It's a season when you go, Jesus, and you feel nothing. God, speak to me. Crickets. Doesn't mean he doesn't love you. It means he is crazy about you. But he's preparing you for something. And in those times of aloneness with him, We call it the wilderness time. Jesus went through it. Everybody goes through it. It's another lengthy period of time where you, and this is what God spoke to us 35 years ago when we were in that original process of trying to figure out what are you doing? What are we supposed to be? What are we supposed to do? The Lord spoke to us and said, you must be durable and long-lasting to fulfill your destiny. It's not going to be about just be another flash in the pan. Do you know any flashes in the pan my wife and I have seen in nearly 40 years of ministry? Do you know how many people celebrate fireworks and bottle rockets? You know, Roman candles, light it up. That's what the enemy wants you to do. He wants you to be a Roman candle for God, that you have your destiny moment and then you explode and fall to the ground and have no more influence the rest of your life. He wants your fall to be greater than your rise. And he wants to take people with you when you mess up. Three of the largest spirit-filled churches we looked up to when we started Now Church in 1990, three of the largest in the country do not exist anymore and haven't existed since the early 90s. When we started, we were like, we want to be like that church in Rockwall, Texas. That's a great church. That's a praying church. 3 years later, Rockwall, Texas, Church on the Rock didn't even exist. Just blew up. Some of you don't even know what I'm talking about. That's fine. That's good. A lot of times we look for something. Let me tell you something. The hardest part and the best part is longevity. We're talking about sustainability these days. Everything, is it sustainable? Is your faith sustainable? Is your purpose sustainable? Is it going to be there? Is it going to be there? We started out walking with the Lord when we were teenagers. Is it still there when we're 63? God bless America. It's still here because he's still working with us. And part of it is because there were times where we were left on the shelf to dry long enough to be found useful in the timing of God. One of the major proofs of good fruit is staying power. It may be the most important. Jesus said, I want you to bear fruit and I want you to do it for a long time. Bear more fruit and bear more fruit. A couple more things and we're done. Number five, here's the fun part. Once you've had time on the shelf, clay is put onto the potter's wheel. That's when you go from 0 to 60 in 5 seconds. This is when you're like, God, use me. You're on the shelf and you just go, God, use me. Use me. Has anybody ever prayed that prayer? God, just use me. The problem is then when God starts doing it, then you go, God, I feel so used. God says, which is it? What do you want? Clay is put onto the potter's wheel. That's where you see the shaping or molding into what God wants you to be. The New Testament, he says, there are some vessels of honor. Some vessels that are for special purposes. The spinning wheel, when you get on that potter's wheel, life starts to turn at a dizzying pace. Suddenly you go, and now you're busy, 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 busy. Now you have to start learning to say no to some things. First, you're like, use me, use me, use me. I'm not saying no to God. I'm saying you have to say no. You have to pick and choose by discernment again. Holy Spirit, what is of you? What do you want me to focus on right now? Where am I the most useful? The spinning wheel. It happens at a dizzying pace. The potter, now, the great part of this is, and this is why I like it better than shelf time. It's crazy, but stuff is happening. And on the potter's wheel, the potter puts his hands on you. The potter places his two hands on you. And then the only part that's bad on the wheel is He puts in his fingernail or a thumb. Boom! And as it spins, suddenly you're being shaped. And you're feeling it. You're changing shape. You're being molded into something different than maybe you saw. One finger stuck firmly into the clay presses on you. In a moment, you can become a beautiful vase for flower arrangements, or an amazing decanter for anointing oil, if you just let the potter do what he wants. Otherwise, you wind up as an ashtray. That's what kids do when they learn pottery class. If it breaks down nothing, it either becomes a pencil holder or an ashtray. You don't want that. You don't want that. Be a vessel of honor. Number six. Okay, here's another tough one. Once you are molded and shaped, newly formed pottery is heated in the fire. Now it goes in the fire, and you can sing songs like Roberta Flack's old song, "Kill Me Softly." Kill me softly. No? Well, I liked it when I wrote it anyway. The fire is the place of testing. The fire is when God starts to see if you actually can hold oil. The vessel's no good if it's got a leak. And so the fire, when you're taking off the wheel, you're like, yes, this is awesome. Ah! Now you put in the fire. The place of testing. 1 Peter 1 says this, verse 6. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while if need be, you have been grieved by various trials. Has anybody been grieved by various trials lately? Struggles? Challenges? Look what it says. Verse 7. So that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory the revelation of Jesus Christ. You don't know what kind of vessel you got until you start going through a little heat. My friend John Mason always says that being a Christian is like living a life as a tea bag. You never know what the flavor is going to come out until you get in some hot water. Well, John Mason said it better than I did. Anyway, apparently. Think of Daniel's three friends. We sang last Sunday about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They said, we're not going to bow and we're not going to worship an idol no matter what you do. Then the king said, we're going to put you in a fiery furnace. They said, okay, you can do that, but our God will deliver us. They said, but even if he doesn't, we won't bow. Heated the furnace 7 times hotter, and the guards that threw them in perished. They got in the fire voluntarily. And the king looked into the furnace, and what did he say? There's 3 men I put in there. But I see a 4th man walking around with them, in the fire. They're walking in the fire. They're not melting in the fire. They're not burning in the fire. The Bible says their clothes didn't even burn or smell like smoke when they got out. Amen. Why? Because Jesus was with them. Yes. In the fire. Yes. That's the good news. Even if it's 7 times hotter, you're going to come through it. You're going to get through. You're going to make it through. You're going to get through this time of testing. This too shall pass. Gold is purified in the fire. And when it's purified, the scum flows to the top, the dross. And it has to be scooped off. And I'm told by a friend of mine who's a goldsmith and a pastor. He said, literally what I'm looking for when I'm refining the gold in the fire is I'm looking, when I scoop the dross, when it's finally through all the heatings of the fire, I can see my own reflection in the gold. When God can see the image of Jesus in your life, you're ready for service. 2 more things, real quick. I've got 3 minutes. Number 7, pottery goes on the shelf. Back to the shelf. You have now it's through all the processes, but it goes on the shelf to wait for the moment that it's needed. Awaiting for a moment where its purpose and the timing of everything's coming together. Pottery goes on the shelf. One more time test. It's inspected for cracks. Will it hold water? Will it hold oil? Will it hold the wine? Will it fulfill its purpose? I want to ask you today, are you in a holding pattern? Do you feel like you're living Groundhog Day all over again? Just get up. You know, there used to be a commercial years ago from Dunkin' Donuts. Time to make the donuts. He would go out when it's dark in the morning and say, time to make the donuts. And then showed him coming back in late at night. I made the donuts. Time to make the donuts. I made the donuts. Sometimes that's, if you're just going to work to pay bills, you're not living for your destiny. If you're just going to work to pay some bank so you can live under a house, that's great. Under a roof. That's great, but that's not the purpose of life. The meaning of your life is who you help along the way, how God wants to utilize you to help other people right now. Time tested. Are you in a holding pattern? Hang on. My word for you today is God has not forgotten you if you're in a holding pattern. He will not leave you like the elf on the shelf forever. He will sustain you. He will help you be on the shelf. But then the deployment comes. Number eight and last, God places your place in the master's service as a special container. My friends, the true riches in life are being deployed into the kingdom purpose of the Lord, filled with his oil, filled with the Holy Spirit, ready to pour out on the next person that has a need, a question, a desire. That's the issue. True riches in life, there's nothing like it. At the end of the day, all these tests and preparations are worth the pain because the promise is this, the pure in heart shall see God. The pure in heart shall see God. So what's our takeaway today? Only time will tell. Only time will tell. Let your fruit speak. Let your light shine. The best way to get back at your critics, Lester Sumner used to say, is to bring forth lasting fruit and outlive them. We say around here, the truth always outlives a lie. And that's for somebody. Maybe somebody watching right now. Truth will outlive the lie. Truth will always, always, always outlive lie. It may take days, weeks, months, or years, or decades. But truth will prevail. That's a promise from God. Somebody's talking about you online. Somebody's saying ugly stuff about you. Somebody's writing bad reviews on Google about you, whatever else. Truth will outlive the lie. Amen. Keep bearing fruit. Keep bearing fruit. It'll drive your critics crazy. When you keep blessing and smiling and moving forward in Jesus' name. Amen? Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your promises today. Lord, we place our lives into your hands. Help us through all these time tests, all these challenging moments. Help us through the fire. Lord, everyone is going through a season of challenge, a season of testing, or a season where they feel like they're on a shelf somewhere just waiting and holding. I pray, God, that you would accelerate their training and their adjustments in your love and in your mercy. Would you come, Holy Spirit, and bring us into full alignment for every assignment you have for us. Let your word work in and for every person, Father. Help them if they're going through a dry season, if they're going through a season where they feel overwhelmed under the water, a season where they're feeling ignored or unloved or just on a shelf somewhere. Whatever it is, Father, I ask you to clarify that season and bring the next part of the process. I thank you that you're raising up vessels of honor, special purposes in this place. And we give you glory. And we give you honor, we give you praise in Jesus' name. Listen, I just want before you, just keep your head bowed just for one more second. If you don't know Jesus, this may sound like a, a torture test today. That's not what this is. The moment you put your hand into the hand of Jesus, he'll give you the grace for each season. Not just to endure it, but to actually make it through with joy. If you're here today and you say, Pastor, I'm not sure I know the Lord in the way you're describing. I'm not sure I know or understand. You can know him in a real way before you leave this room. But let him deal with the impurities. Don't hide them. The Bible says if we walk in the light as he's in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus cleanses from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we lie to ourselves and to God. But if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. When he's dealing with an area, just bring it to his attention. He already knows. God, I messed up. Father, I'm so mad. I'm so upset. Set me free. Show me that freedom. If you're here today and you need Jesus in a new way, would you just lift your hand up right now and say, Pastor, pray for me. Even at home right now, make an action right there. Is there somebody right here in the room? God bless you. Is there someone else in the room just saying, I want to make sure my heart is right with God. I've been going through the fire. God bless you. Maybe you're going through the shelfdom. God bless you, sir. So someone else. These are those moments where you just surrender to the potter. You rebuke the enemy, but you surrender to the potter for the whole process. Father, I pray for everyone whose hand is raised, everyone whose heart is open, whether in the room or whether watching on stream. In the name of Jesus, we break every force of hell that tries to take these seasons and use it against them. We pray, Holy Spirit, that you would come and have your way in your perfect timing, in your perfect will, for us to be who you called us to be. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You received that word today? Did you get something? Put your hands together for the Lord.
Thanks for joining us at Now Church. For the latest updates, visit us at nowchurch.com, including live or on-demand video, event registration, online giving, and much more. And don't forget to follow Now Church on our social media platforms, including Facebook and Instagram. And please use the hashtag #NowChurch. Thank you,